So we are in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. We are going to go back to chapter 1 during this message. So just get ready to have a little walk. You guys know how this is. Are you guys ready? Father, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness and goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it is that it does accomplish all that you've set it out to do, that it does not return to you void, that your word is living and active. We thank you that it is everything we need for life and godliness. We thank you that you have clearly defined what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman, but specifically what it means, what it is to be a man and woman of God, a family of God, to raise up children for you, children of God. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Help us to be a shining light in a very dark world. We praise you. To you be honor and glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So, principle number one, we are in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me read 1 Timothy 4 first before we go into the principles. So, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Commend and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What an imperative, what an encouragement that Paul gives. He exhorts Timothy to be one who rightly handles, preaches, teaches, walks, lives, is committed and fully devoted to the word of God. Like, that is the necessity here. So as men, we must commit to the word of God. Our wives, our children are watching. The world is watching. So the teaching and the schemes of demons continue even today. And the inoculation of false doctrine is Christ's true and faithful doctrine. There is a doctrine. There's one doctrine. One true and real doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. The complete truth of his word. This is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Isn't that interesting that Peter says the same exact thing that Paul says to Timothy here? Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times. So this is a prophecy that the Holy Spirit is giving Paul to tell Timothy. This is from God himself. The Spirit of God says this. In latter times. What's interesting about this word times is it's a fixed and definite time. What time? today time. How do we know? Look at the world. Look at the preachers. Look at the teachers. We live in that time now. That's the time. Some. This word some, as I explained to you last week, this word tis means certain ones. Which ones? The ones that were not of the family, who came in as if they were of the family, wolves dressed in sheep's clothing, and they, those ones, will depart. They were never of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But because they're not of us, they're gone. Eventually, they'll leave because they've came in and devoured the sheep and tried to wreck the church, and as a result, have left the church in a dismantled way. That's the idea. Or they get caught, and then they're slain like a bad wolf that they are, right? Slain with the word of God. Now, so this word, some, means certain ones will depart, episteme, withdraw oneself. They will withdraw themselves from the faith, from the pistis. The word faith here means gospel. They will withdraw from the sound doctrine of the gospel. But what happens in our day that we live? The day that we live is these men who have withdrawn from the sound doctrine of the gospel have built up churches to teach bad doctrine. And they draw in thousands. And people give thousands of dollars to these people. Because we say that they're, because they write a book that we think is Christian, they got to be believers. I mean, you're promised that if you give $1,000, you're going to get that new car. It's only a matter of time. If they only knew, people have been deceived. And to some degree, I can't help but think that this deception is a judgment upon them from God himself, which we will read later on. So these people, these men have departed, have withdrawn themselves from the sound truth of the gospel, and they have devoted. This word devoting means to apply, attach, hold, or cleave oneself to. They have fully committed themselves to deceitful spirits. Like, think about that. This word deceitful means actuated or moved by. It's an attitude or disposition. What are they actuated or moved by? They're actuated and moved by the teachings of demons. That's what moves them. That's what motivates them to do what they do. Now, these teachings of demons, this word teachings is teachings of demons means teachings disseminated by evil spirits and seducing people from the truth. Now, what we'll read here is that these particular men had said that they need to stop marrying. They need to stop having intimacy with their wives. They need to stop eating food that God has declared clean. Why? Think about Ephesus. What was all over Ephesus? If you stop having sex with your wife, where are you going to go have sex? At the next temple down the road, because that's what they did. If you stop eating food that God has declared clean, what have you done? You end up being a hypocrite because you can't gather with those who eat differently than you. They live in Ephesus. It's a very different type of city than Jerusalem. And so what we end up seeing is they have given themselves over to these teachings of demons. Now, what's interesting is that as they've given themselves over to the teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars, this term, insincerity of liars, means lies or false teachings, hypocrisy. They are hypocrites. You call yourself a believer in Jesus, but you live as if you're not. You want to follow the law and deny the grace of God. When in reality, the law is the teacher. The law is the proof that you are lost and desperately wicked. But they commit to the law, not commit to Christ, the fulfillment of the law, whose consciences were seared. This word conscience is burned in with a branding iron. Now, how many of you guys ever looked at a cow get burned with a branding iron? Can you make that brand go away? You got to kill the cow. So the point is that their consciences have been seared with a branding iron that will always be there. They have given themselves over to these bad, evil teachings. Now, how do we know this? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Why was Paul telling Timothy this? It's a reminder of what he says to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Look what it says. The aim of our charge is love. what Paul is doing here in telling Timothy about these evil men, and we know who these evil men are because they're mentioned at the end of chapter 1, okay, is that our aim for you, Timothy, and for the brothers and sisters in Ephesus is love. And our love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. We're telling you this because it is of a clear conscience that what we're telling you is absolutely true. It is with sincere faith, knowing the gospel, that we share this to you. And then he says in verse 6, certain persons, by swerving from these, by swerving from what? Love, good conscience, sincere faith, have wandered away into vain discussion, into doctrines of demons. That's what he means here. Into these deceitful, actuated and moved attitudes concerning the word of God, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. They spoke to the people in Ephesus as if it was factual. You know you need to abstain from sex with your wife. Don't get married. You know you can't eat this type of food. And what Paul does in verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3, he says, these particular men say, who forbid marriage require abstinence from food. This is a false sense of high moral standard, a self-righteousness by following the law. Look at what I can do. But he says this, but, right, that God created to be received with thanksgiving. These foods that God created, these marriages that God has united, should be received with thanksgiving. The whole point, men, of marriage is to be an example of Christ and his church. Without marriage, what other example will the world see? The first institution that it created was family. The family is necessary for the proclamation of the gospel. Without the family, where does the gospel go? Because families build the family of God. Isn't that interesting? Look what it says. By those who believe and know the truth. That we who know the truth, who believe in Christ, should receive these things with thanksgiving. Verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Why? For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Every wedding that I have done has been clearly articulated through the scripture of Christ and his church and has been poured out in prayer in that service. When we sit down and eat, we pray. And we praise God for his creation, that he has given us all things. And it says in Genesis, when he had finished the work, he said, it is very good. Why do we call things as if they're bad? Second principle. Faithful men commit to the full gospel and sound doctrine by which they can avoid false and silly doctrine. Now these verses might be slightly offensive a little bit, and I'm okay with that. So please make sure you understand the heart of why I'm saying what I'm saying, okay? But before we go there, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 through 18 says this, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. If you do not stand on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, which is the word of God brought to us and given to us on paper, then where else are you going to stand but on sand? Now, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 7a. If you put these things, what's these things? The instructions that have been supplied to you. What instructions? Everything that I've talked to you about, Timothy, all the things that you've learned under my mentorship, everything I've said from chapter 1 till chapter 4 so far, these things, supply these things before the brothers. Give them to the brothers. This is what a pastor does. This is what a teacher does. We come before you and we give you these things, and your responsibility is to diligently search them out and prove them. And when you prove them, apply them. Now, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. You hear that? What happens if you don't put these things before the brothers? You're a bad servant. So when I share with you things that are difficult, I have a responsibility to put them there, especially if I search them out to be true based upon all of the study and teaching that I've gone through myself. Now, that being said, let's keep reading. Being trained, and trepho is the word here, means to educate or form the mind. What's the proof of this? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word training means to educate or form the mind in the words of faith, in the words of the gospel of Christ, in the sound doctrine of Christ. And that's what it says next. And of the good doctrine, the teachings of Christ that you followed. You, Timothy, must educate, continue to educate, form the mind in the words of the gospel of Christ and of the sound doctrine, the teachings of Christ that you have followed, that you have committed your life to. This word follow is the word parakal. I knew I was going to mess that. I do that every time. Every week I got a Greek word. I'm not even going to say the word because it's not going to come out right now. But this word means conform oneself to. I so want to say it, but I'm not going to. That's my ADD. I see it. I got to do it, but I'm not going to do it. Anyway, it means to conform. What are you conforming yourself to, Timothy? The gospel and the teachings of Christ have nothing to do with irreverent, profane, silly myths. This word silly, here's where, I'm so sorry, but when I read this, I'm like, oh, Lord, do I really? Yes, I have to. This word silly means grandma or old womanish. Now, why? I notice everybody starts laughing at that. Like, what are you talking about? Well, grandma with the little kids. Grandma says silly or old womanish things, and the children go, what are you talking about, grandma? Like, that doesn't even make sense. That's because we think differently. So when you're thinking about this issue, he's really getting us to understand that we should have nothing to do with profane or things that don't make sense, right? And myths, this word myths means fiction or falsehood. Now that I'm older and getting older, I know I'm going to say something to my kids that are going to be silly. I know when I was a youth pastor, because of my age, I say stuff and they're going, Pastor Joe, you're just dumb. Like, you don't even know, right? So, think of it this way. It's this idea of the big fat Greek wedding. Does Windex really make any sense? So if you ever watched my big fat Greek wedding, they would put Windex on everything. You get a scrape, Windex. You want to clean the countertop, Windex. Everything's Windex. Windex fixed everything. That's silly. Where'd it come from? Grandma. It makes no sense. That's the idea here. So let's move on from that. I figured you would laugh at that. Third principle, men of God fight, contend for the sound doctrine of God by the consistent study of the word and must expose all who contradict it. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 4, 7b to 10. Rather, train yourself for godliness. This phrase, train yourself for godliness, means purpose to exercise vigorously the mind to become godly or to become like Christ. You have a responsibility to exercise vigorously the mind. You got to spend time in the Word. You wonder why Christians walk defeated lives all day long is because they haven't spent time in the Word. And then when they look at the Word, they haven't searched it out. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Why? Because if the Word of God is renewing my mind and if the Word of God is really saturating my life, then the stewardship and the care of all things will be lived out. as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Can you imagine that godliness today is not a waste because of what's to come? What you do today is going to and is actively impacting your eternity. Like, it's not a waste of time. God doesn't put us on earth here, and then once it's all over, we go, well, he just washes it clean and starts over again. No, he started the process for you in the beginning of time when he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then through that time period, as he brings you to salvation and then progressively starts to sanctify you to make you more like Christ, the scripture says that he will complete the work that he started. You have been predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. You are a work in progress, and he will finish that work when Christ returns. He doesn't come and then start all over again and wash you clean and just give you everything you wanted. It's not how God works. Now, understanding that, how should you live? How should you be living out your life now? What kind of effort should you be putting in now? Now, godliness is a value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This promised life, present and future, the more perfect state of things. The saying, what saying? The saying that's in verse 7 and 8. That saying, the one we just talked about, is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Live now, work now, spiritually exercise now. It's not a waste of time. Look what it says this here. For to this end we toil, we labor, and strive, contend. So to this end we labor and contend because we have our hope set on the living God. I love when Paul uses this term, living God. He's not a God who's dead like the rest of the idols and false gods. This is the living God. Like, all we do for him now is effective and purposeful. And he is the Savior of all people. All what people? Especially, chiefly, those who believe. He saves those who believe. And has commanded that we must command and teach these things, Paul says. That we should be commanding these things and teaching these things. Now, you guys know, love God, love his word, love his ways, love his things, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. A lot of churches stop there. It doesn't stop there. What we see is surrender, conformity. Conformity, sanctification. You cannot understand the purpose of the work of the sanctifying work of God unless you are in the word. You must obey. There is not an option here. Teaching them to observe all that I command. Not the things I want or the things I don't want. All that I've commanded you. I can't help but think in Romania that they do this. This is a common understanding in different countries. But here in America, it's not a common teaching. Because all we want to do is tickle ears and make people feel like, oh, God loves me. But Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my commands. This is not an issue of legalism. It's an issue of surrendered heart and life to the purpose of glorifying God in how I live. It's good for you. That's why he says here, train yourself. Exercise vigorously the mind to become godly. Lastly, can't believe we got this entire chapter done. And praise God. Men of God, keep careful attention to that which is entrusted to them. You must keep careful attention to that which God has entrusted to you. And I'm going to give you some basic things that God has entrusted to you. First and foremost, he's entrusted the gospel to you. The most important thing on the planet, more important than your wife. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The life-giving word of God. There is nothing more important than that. The second, your wife. Take good care of her. Be the example of Christ in the church by being sacrificial to her. And then third, your children. The future of what God has given as a gift to you. Your children are his. He desires godly offspring. So, men of God, keep careful attention to which God has entrusted to you, the word of God and the gospel of Christ. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What is he faithful to do? Everything that he's promised. You must be careful to care for and contend for what he's entrusted to you. 1 Timothy 4:12-16. Let no one despise you. Let no one think little disdain you for your youth. If you are young, good. Youth has nothing to do with godliness. If you're a godly man or a godly woman and you're young, be an example of godliness. Because there's a lot of old people that need to see that. Timothy, roughly around 19 to 20 years old, like I've said, he was an example of godliness to the older men in the community. And they said, don't let anyone look down on you, disdain you, or despise you, Timothy, but set the believers an example. And there is no other word in the Greek. I looked them all up. This list is exactly what it means. An example in speech and how I speak, in conduct and how I live, in love and how I give my life for God and his people, in faith and how I contend to the gospel and the doctrine of truth, and in purity and how I live so that no one can say anything about me. Do this, Timothy says, until I come. And then he says, devote thought and effort, Timothy, to what? To public reading of scripture, of exhortation and teaching. Do not, this is an imperative statement, it's a command, do not neglect. Amaleo is the word here. Do not be careless with the gift. What gift? The God-given power to discharge the office of an evangelist is the word here. This word gift means that. Do not stop being an evangelist and preaching the full counsel of God's word and the gospel. You have, ensu is the word here. You have in you what's in us. God. You have, that word you have means in you. Do not be careless with the gift that is in you, which was given by prophecy. The word prophecy means this, that which comes through and by the gospel. It's not by men laying hands on the person and some power comes out and all of a sudden they have received something that they never had before. That's not what it means here. The power of the evangelist comes by the power of the Holy Spirit by which he has been given through the gospel. All things come through Christ. That which comes through and by the gospel. When the council of elders, presbyterion is the word here. It's where they get the word presbytery from, or presbyterians. The council of elders. That's why the elders have a very important role that we play. And how we look at, evaluate deeply those who are the elders and the deacons of the church. The church doesn't make that choice. God makes that choice. What do we do? This council of elders that have been laid, they laid their hands. Epiphysis is the word here. They imposed. Imposed what? Imposed the power and the truth of God to Timothy. They have imposed God, truth upon him. He says this, Timothy, practice, attend carefully these things, immerse yourself in them. Do you hear that, men? How much do you immerse yourself in the Word of God? How much time do you spend listening, singing, hearing, writing, thinking about? You'd be like, that's a little bit too much. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The very Word of God keeps you alive. And you can't devote yourself 15, 20 minutes to that? I'm too busy. There's nothing in your life that's so busy that you can't spend time in God with God in his word. No, there's no reason. There's no excuse. You got 24 hours a day. I don't have enough time. God is giving you enough time. He's giving you 24 hours. And you don't know the day when it's all done. You better get it in now, because when the day's over, you ain't getting it in no more. Practice is done. Practice. Attend carefully these things. Immerse yourselves in them. Why? So that all may see your progress. You hear that? That all may see the sanctifying work of God in your life. So it's not, I don't do this because I want to feel good. I'm doing this so others can see. When others see, others may want. Very interesting. This word progress means make known. Make known what? The effectual work of the Word of God. Make known. Now, keep a close watch. Give attention to what? Yourself. Watch yourself, Timothy. Pay attention. Keep the word. That's what he says here. Keep watch on yourself and on the teaching. What teaching? That which has been taught. The doctrine that you've been given. Not some new doctrine. There's no new truth coming. It's what you've been given now through the word. And then he says this. Resist or persist, sorry, persist in this. In what? In the work of the teaching of the doctrine that you've been given, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What's he mean, you will save? The word means to maintain, to keep, to live in such a way that you are, that your life is so impactful that your hearers will be impacted. In other words, the effectual work of God will not be a waste, and it's never a waste. Now, so as men, we have a high responsibility. And as men of God and preachers, we have the greatest responsibility within the church. And so one of the things I want you to continue to hear over this next year, as men and women of God, as we really look at the importance of biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, get this basic, simple motto deep down. Love God, love His word, love His ways, and love His things. When you can do that, you will continue to walk in a way that honors Him. You have to love His word. You love His word, you will love to live His ways. When you love to live His ways, then you will love and steward His things. Father, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness and goodness. We praise you for your word. We praise you that you are actively working in the hearts and the lives of your people to conform us into the image of the living Son of God. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.